Our gospel this morning is recorded in the 13th chapter of the gospel according to Luke. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Do not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the word of the Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior Jesus the Christ. So I'm going to ask you a question today, a question that I know that I've asked in worship before, and I would guess that I will ask it again another day. What did you expect when you decided to come today? What did you expect might happen in this space as we gathered together? Did you have some sort of hope? Desire? Were you hoping that there might be some sort of a word of grace or mercy spoken that would float into your life and into whatever is going on? Were you hoping that in the midst of a meal served, songs sung, scripture read, that God's Holy Spirit would become real for you? What were you hoping for? I ask that question today because part of what's grabbed my imagination this week is thinking about this woman who was gripped for 18 years, bound by a spirit, is what Scripture says, but bound, hunched over 18 long years. Do you think that she had any expectation of what might happen that day, that she would be set free? Think about it. 18 years. Morning after morning after morning, getting up, unable to see people in the eye, hunched over. She must have had a lot of spirit because she kept on. She must have been a strong woman. She kept going. She didn't give up. She continued to get out, to be about, and she showed up in synagogue that morning. What do you think that she expected to have happen? That morning, she shows up, and Jesus sees her. He invites her to come over. He says to her, "You're set free." And then he touches her, and in that moment, she is able to stand up straight for the first time in 18 years. And I think what is amazing is that she didn't throw her hands up and yell to her family or her friends or her acquaintances in the synagogue that day, "Look at me! I can stand up finally!" That's not what she did. Instead, Scripture tells us she immediately turns to the praise of God because she understands that what happened in that moment was not about anyone else. It was about God and God acting. And immediately my mind runs to Psalm 103 that Karen just shared with us. This might be a scripture that we might want to run home today and highlight those opening verses so that when God shows up in our lives and we can't think of the words of praise, we can flip to the Psalms that gives them to us. Hear those words again from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits. She immediately turns to praising God in that moment. Amazing, fascinating, set free from this bondage to live. Be a great story if it ended right there. But the religious leader, doing what religious leaders sometimes do, is hooked up more on the law than on the good creation. And I see him running forward and going around to everybody that is around. No, no, no healing, no healing. It is Sabbath. There are six other days of the week. You come then. You come then. Because this is the Sabbath day. We got to keep this holy. And Jesus calls him to the carpet. I think you untie your ox and your donkey on the Sabbath. I think you lead them away to water. Don't you think it's okay for this woman to be untied, unbound, set free? And the crowd cheers. The law was meant as gift. When God gifted Moses with the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, it was meant to be a gift. It was meant to be freedom. It was meant to have a day to sit back and remember that God is God and we are not. It was meant to be a day for rest, renewal, recreation. Because the world is tough. And crazy, and we need renewal. I think renewal came to that woman that day in the midst of this Sabbath. But here's where a text like this gets really difficult for preachers. We would love to be able to heal. We would love to be able to take our hands and lay it on those who have gotten a cancer diagnosis recently, who live with chronic pain, who walk each and every day with substance abuse or mental health issues or whatever else it is. But we're not Jesus. And so we do what we can do, and sometimes it feels so incredibly inadequate, but we gather and we pray and we try to provide hope, and that's the calling of the community of faith. That if there is to be healing, sometimes God works miracles, there is no question. Sometimes those miracles are worked through the hands of doctors or researchers who find incredible things to set us free from cancer or depression or whatever else. But sometimes that healing also comes through a community that gathers around the one who is hurting, who is brokenhearted, who needs to be lifted up and carried in the moment. So this week, for the first time, Trinity's Mental Health and Substance Abuse Task Force gathered together. 8 or 10 people who all volunteered to get together once a month to think about how this place could be a place of healing, hope, and wholeness for those who are dealing with substance abuse and mental health issues. Now, if you think that that's someone else, what was pretty amazing to me is that as we told our stories around the table, we all came to realize that we volunteered to be part of this group because mental health and substance abuse issues touch each and every one of those that were present personally. We also made a vow to one another that each person's story is their story, and that outside the group, we will not share that story. The individual is free to share their own story, but we'll just hold those stories and honor them, which is really important. Because as we begin to learn to open ourselves up to talk about issues of substance abuse and mental health, if we're right that the vast majority of people within our congregation and within our touch, if we're right that the vast majority of folks deal with those issues, then we got to figure out a way that we can be open with one another, so that we can walk together. And maybe in the midst of that, provide healing for one another. This grows out of a resolution that was passed at this year's Synod Assembly. And in the opening part of that resolution, it really lays out that this is not somebody else's issue. This is lots of our issues. Do you realize that in the past decade in North Dakota, the number of overdose deaths has increased by 300%. In Bismarck alone, last year, 19 people died of overdoses. 6 to 8 weeks ago, Chief Drayevich was here for a meeting that we hosted on behalf of Ministry on the Margin. I asked him what was up in his life and what he was dealing with. He said, the overwhelming amount of fentanyl abuse and the number of overdoses. I said, really? How big's the problem? He said, 19 deaths last year. I said, man, I can't believe it. Do you think people in town even know this is going on? He said, absolutely not. If there were 19 murders in Bismarck, people would be up in arms. But no one is talking about this overdose problem. Mental health. There was a recent survey that was done in our middle schools and high schools across the state. 55% of the middle school kids and 61% of the high school kids said their mental health is not good. That is their own self-reporting. Their mental health is not good. Suicides in North Dakota have increased by 58% over the last 10 years. These are stark statistics where we're called to provide a word of freedom, relief, grace, mercy. What I loved about this group of people that got together for this first meeting, who have committed to be together for 9 months, is they said, we don't want to just talk about this, we want to do something. I think that's a great goal. And I think that part of their do something, they openly stated, was we want Trinity to become the kind of place where people can be open about what is going on in their lives and that they can receive compassion, grace, and mercy from other members of the congregation. If they're dealing with issues of mental health, if they're dealing with issues of substance abuse, that we would surround them with love and prayer just like we do when someone has a medical diagnosis of cancer or something else. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what if Trinity Lutheran became the kind of place that was known throughout the community where you could come here and be who you really are and tell people what is really happening in your life? Where people would honor your story and not gossip about it, but be willing to continue to walk with you and wrap you with love, care, and support. What if we became the kind of people that were known everywhere that it doesn't matter if you are broken or hurt or lost? That we would welcome you gladly. That would be the kind of place where healing would happen, I believe. It would be the kind of place where the gospel is not only proclaimed, it is fully lived out. May God stir us and lead us and make it so. Amen.